to choose for these sermon beginnings. So let me say it again, Happy New Year. But really, what do we mean by that? We've all wished each other a Happy New Year, and is it already over? Did we just talk about the one day, or are we really wishing for a happy year? Or perhaps there is another meaning of it. We want you to have a blessed year. And then we can, even from a spiritual point of view, what does God want for us this year? Or maybe we even push and we say, does God want us to be happy? And of course, there we start talking about terms. Well, happiness, as our world defines it, may not be top priority with God. But when you can go back and you can look at the Old Testament, and we can look at, do we want to have a happy new year? Do we want to have a blessed new year? Yeah, it works. Which do we want? And so I did a little research, and I deliberately went into the Old Testament, where I weighed blessed or happy, and I found the Hebrew word esher. And the King James translates it 27 times as blessed and 18 times as happy. But as I began to look at the definition, there were various nuances. One that really caught my attention was, oh, happy man. I mean, with exclamation point, oh, happy man. And I couldn't help but think as I sip coffee, which I could use some now, from my black cup, I have a quote by Phil Robertson. It says, happy, happy, happy. And I even brought my shirt. I thought about wearing it. I guess you can call me a coward or just someone who has good discretion. But I wore it on New Year's Day, or Christmas Day rather, when we had service. Happy, happy, happy. And I've been watching Phil. I've watched some of his sermons on YouTube. I've been kind of keeping an eye on his show and the different things that he's going on. And I said, I think there's something that even Phil is trying to tell us about happy is the man. And so I want to start out with, oh, happy man, in Psalms 1, in verse 1, the beginning of the Psalms, the very first verse. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Oh, happy man. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. There's a lot of New Testament in there, isn't there? But what about bearing fruits? About being that tree? About being that prosperous? But prosperous in God's way, not necessarily man's way. For we can accomplish far more with God's way than we can by our own way. But look as it continues in verse 4. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. And I think, well, I want to be that one in the righteous, but I can't be there all on my own. I've got to count on Jesus Christ to be counted in the righteous. But I want that. So how do I get that? Well, let's go back. It talks about delighting in the law of the Lord. He could have just as easily have said, happy, oh happy man, is he whose God is the Lord. But he talks about it even further. The application, listen to the law of the Lord, who meditates on it day and night. that person, O happy man. Well, let's continue in Psalms 32, starting in verse 1. O happy man, whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the one whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of the summer. What's he not done? He's not taken his sin. He's not taken his transgression to the Lord. And I'm so glad it doesn't end there. Picking up in verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. You want to just stop there. And it says, where's the man who says there's no mercy and there's no grace in the Old Testament? And it's right there. It's in God's nature. David understands that better than anyone. You forgave the guilt of my sin. And I wonder, that's so beautiful, that's so wondering, why don't we all confess our sins? Why don't we be more upfront with that? Why don't we just look for that opportunity? Lord, I want to confess this. I want to get this off. I want that heavy hand that I feel against me to be lifted. And somebody says, well, you go first. But can we at least, let's go to God. And let's not be afraid to go to one another to lift that burden, that sin, that guilt, to have it lifted from us. Continuing on in verse 6, therefore let all the faithful pray to you while you may be found. Surely the rising of the mighty waters will not reach them. You are my hidden place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. And I like that way, that in songs of deliverance. Are there songs of victory that we sing that are most precious to us? Are there songs that are so meaningful to us, they just the tune lifts us up, never mind the words themselves, but we know that there's power in those words. And they allow us to recite entire passages because we know those melodies and we know that tune, though we may have only sung it a few times. But there's joy in knowing the Lord. There's joy in His forgiveness. Continuing on in verse 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. And I think the tense has changed. It's really the Lord talking. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, for they will not come. What a comparison. Are we not so much greater than horse or mule, manipulated by the bridle, controlled by the bit? God gives us free choice, but we can respond to Him with our will to follow Him and serve Him. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in Him. And then the psalm ends, rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all of you who are upright in heart. Sing with joy. Sing out. Sing the praises to God. Sing of His love and also His forgiveness. Now in Psalms 34, O happy man, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him, who trusts in Him. Fear the Lord, you His holy people, for those who fear Him lack nothing. For those who fear Him lack nothing. It's a good place to be, trusting in the Lord. The lion may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no, listen very carefully, no good thing. No good thing do you lack. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Already we've seen three things that lead to a happy man. Oh, happy man. Trusting in God. God's forgiveness. Seeking diligently His Word and His ways. But there's still a few more, and I couldn't let O Happy Man go without talking about an O Happy Woman, as found in Psalms 31. And this is something that Phil talks about, and I give him credit for that. He's out front talking about loving the wife of his youth, loving that first love. And Psalms so beautifully starts out in chapter 31, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth far more than rubies. And that's where I'm humbled again. I wish I could shower you, honey, with rubies and everything that you deserve. For you are noble. Yet I know as I look around the audience that there are men who share that as well for their spouse, the love of their life. And bless you and bless God for giving you the wisdom to seek a woman of noble character. Because it goes on. Her children, arise and call her blessed. Boy, she's got most of us beat there already. Her children, arise and call her blessed. Her husband also. He praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm. Listen very carefully. Charm is deceptive. And beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Little more needs to be said. But so many of you are that woman of noble character. Let us give you honor and praise here in this church, and at the city gates. Because what you do is so important, and it's best summarized in Proverbs 20, in verse 7. The righteous lead blameless lives. Blessed, O happy man, are their children after them. That means so much to me. That brings tears to my eyes. That's something that it's so important that I think, Lord, is it too important to me? Oh, I want to pass on faith to my children. Not only my children, but the children of this church, any children who will listen to the Word of God, who bring them. Let us teach them. I thank the teachers who do that tirelessly week after week. I thank all of you who are involved in so many programs that reach out to children. But don't forget fathers, don't forget mothers. You're that first line. You're that first line of instruction. You want to be happy? You want to enjoy your retirement? You want to rock away those final years with no regrets? Lay it all down for those children, for your grandchildren. And don't stop there. The best blessing my parents ever did for me is they showed me that they could love someone who was not even biologically related to us, who was more of a stranger than someone they knew. They could love them the same way that they loved me, and that didn't challenge me. That didn't make me say, well, what? That's not fair. That reassured me. It reassured me that regardless of what I did, they loved me. And while they helped a woman who had had a child out of wedlock, they were willing to reach out to her to let her live in their home, there came a time when she decided on her own that she was just going to go back to the guy who was the father of the child. My parents consulted and they said, if you do that, there'll be no coming back. And that taught me something too. But I knew then that it's not just your biological children. It goes well beyond that. It is knowing what we talked about this morning. When Jesus looked at that man, He looked at him and loved him. Was willing to feel his needs, to care for him, to care about his salvation. And oh, what he offered him. And how sad we read about that the rich man walked away. But how sad was Jesus who loved him. Does God want us to be happy? Oh yes. His way, not man's way. That's fleeting. That's shallow. That's superficial. No one can take away this happiness. No one can take away this joy. So often in life, I look at Cynthia and I say, the world cannot hurt us, but we can hurt each other. We can withstand this with God's help, whatever we're going through. So as I look at 2014, be in His Word. Let God be your Lord. Know that He forgives. Know that He's just waiting for you to come to Him. And rejoice. Sing. But more importantly, don't have a happy new year. Don't even have a blessed new year. Even more importantly, be a blessing to all those around you. Be a blessing to everyone you meet. Love them as Jesus loved them. Be a blessed year. If you'd like to have prayers of encouragement, if you'd like to dedicate your life to God and start that path, it's not easy, but it's a joy. It's a joy when you really understand it. Won't you come as we stand and sing?